This morning, the Senate Judiciary Committee approved the first gun control measure post-Newtown. It would make it a federal crime to purchase a gun for someone who is banned from owning one. But that bill might be the only gun control measure that makes it into law in coming months. That's because talks between lawmakers broke down on what was thought to have been an area of agreement, universal background checks on all gun purchases. The sticking point between lawmakers is any requirement that would make gun sellers keep records of gun sales. Gun rights supporters oppose that because they fear it could lead to gun registration and then confiscation. So let's check in on a one-of-a-kind program that does confiscate guns from some people. It's in California, where the owners of certain types of guns are required to register them. The confiscation program was created in 2001 in response to high-profile cases where people who were banned from having or owning guns used those guns to commit murders. California set up a database to track people who can no longer legally own guns. And for the past several years, the state has sent out teams to confiscate those weapons. Lawmakers are now proposing additional money for the program, which in the past the NRA has lobbied against. Special Agent Supervisor John Marsh supervises the teams in the Sacramento area. And Agent Marsh, how does someone who used to be legally able to own a gun become disqualified?
They could be arrested for a felony. California has 40-some-odd misdemeanors that you can become prohibited from owning a firearm. You can get domestic violence restraining order or a mental health commitment.
And do you have a sense of how many people out there fall into this now disqualified category, or how many guns are out there in this category?
Yes, right now there's approximately 20,000 people in the database with 40,000 guns associated to them.
You've been running this program about 5 years. How many guns have you been able to get off the streets through it?
Easily over 10,000 guns.
But many more still out there, as you said, about 40,000 or so.
That's correct.
We also read that sometimes when you go to collect the guns, you actually find other guns. So there's a benefit there. You find more than you expected to find.
Yes. Right now, the only guns that are in our system are handguns and a limited number of registered assault weapons. It does not currently keep track of any long guns, and that would be a rifle or a shotgun. So when we go to these prohibited people's houses, we might be looking for a specific handgun, but during that investigation, we come across several other weapons.
And when you say the only guns in your system are handguns, you mean those are registered so you know they're out there?
Right. California recently passed new legislation, and in 2014, the system will be recording long guns.
Would you describe a typical scenario, what happens when you show up on that doorstep?
Typically, we've done a complete investigation prior to going to these people's house. So we'll have pictures, I'll know criminal history, know everything about them, and do complete workups so we can try to minimize the propensity for violence or try to identify who might have a higher propensity for violence, and then contact them at their residence. The officers are trained from the Department of Justice, Bureau of Firearms. They're probably the highest trained agents that we have. We do a lot of training in communication and how to communicate with these people at the door and explain to them that they are prohibited from owning firearms.
Are there times that you're breaking down doors, or are you always asking people or telling them that you plan to come in?
There are times that we might obtain a search warrant and we go through the process of knocking on the door and giving them an appropriate amount of time to open the door. But in those circumstances when people have decided that they are not going to, yes, we have had to force entry into different residences.
And what are the range of reactions you've gotten from people when you show up?
The range varies. As I explained to you, we deal with just such a diverse group of people. We're sometimes dealing with people with mental illness and might not be on their medication or be in different stages of their mental illness and can become very volatile, violent. And sometimes people are very compliant and understand the law and turn over their firearms without an issue.
We read that this program in California is being studied as a potential model. What do you think makes it different in a way that's worth studying and replicating?
Nobody has a database that has a central starting point and then has a way to cross-reference prohibiting factors with gun owners. So it's a good indicator. It's something that's been successful.
It sounds like it's the registration process that obviously is key to this, because you know what's out there.
You have to have a starting point, that's for sure.
How practical is this financially? Because it's very labor-intensive, and it costs a lot of money. We read that just to clear the backlog of guns would cost more than $40 million.
I personally don't think that you can put a dollar amount to potentially saving people's lives and disarming prohibited people. So it is labor-intensive. It is difficult to do. They're not easy cases to work. But I do think that if you're trying to put a dollar amount on public safety, that's a difficult kind of line to walk.
We mentioned that the NRA has been opposed to this. What kind of pushback do you get to the program?
We don't. Here in California, the NRA is very active, but this is one program that they don't disagree with. It's tough for them to say that people that are prohibited should have guns.
But they have opposed funding for the program.
Opposed funding, but the program, they've never contested the program in and of itself. They might have issues with the state keeping gun information or other parts of the program, but the actual disarming prohibited people, I have never had them disagree with that portion of it.
Special Agent Supervisor John Marsh works with the California Attorney General's Gun Seizure Program. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Here and Now, weather-related disasters and insurance. Are homeowners ready when earthquakes or major storms like Sandy strike? An expert in risk says no. Also, the Oscar-nominated documentary on AIDS activists who help change medicine. That's tomorrow. Still ahead today, treating and preventing PTSD by studying the warrior brains of Navy SEALs. News is next, Here and Now.